If your ears had an ass, they'd be kicking it right now. Ow. The Rise Guys Morning Show.
I see his name here, but I don't know that that's good to say his name.
He is the only one. It might out him.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's...
I don't know anybody else with that name. I mean, look, he's cool with it.
All right. We'll just bring him on. If he wants to say his name, I'll just call him Disgruntled Dad. Good morning.
Morning.
Hey, do you agree it's probably not good to say your name? Or if you want to, I mean, it's your life, but...
I mean, yeah, you can say my name.
Wow. Okay. This free world we live in now. All right, Vince. Don't fire me.
You're fired.
It was him all along.
It was me all along.
Austin. It was me, Austin.
Do you hate having the name Vince right now with all of McMahon stuff, or do you not even think about it at all?
I don't even think about it. You know, it's definitely weird, but like he's always been kind of weird.
Right. All right. So we've kind of laid this out for our listeners already this morning. This is what I know, and you fill in the missing elements here. So you and your wife have decided you're getting a divorce. You and your wife are getting divorced. You have a couple kids. We don't even have to say the exact years, but preteen and teen. And you have not told them yet. And she wants this to be like, once you've agreed now that you're getting a divorce, she wants you out now. You're like, I want to stay through Christmas. And she's like, that's not fair to anybody because we're putting on a facade that's not genuine. So how long have you been married? Let's start with that.
We've been married for 10 years.
Okay. Wow. All right. And was there, again, you control how in depth we get to this, but did anybody cheat?
No one cheated. It was just, it was kind of turning this way for the better part of the year. And, it's gotten to the place where it's like definitely done. But yeah, I want to go through to the holidays.
I mean, it kind of makes sense, to be honest.
I mean, it really does. But
like, I feel like it's not fair. I feel like it's not fair to end it now, just before the holidays.
Yeah, but so this is one thing, and if you were listening earlier, I kind of made a little fun, little quippy joke about it. But like, when do you tell them then? I made the joke about you're waiting for the ball to drop on New Year's, and then went at 3, 2, 1, we're getting a divorce.
Is there a right time?
That wouldn't be the
right. No.
Kids should not stay up that late anyway. No, is there a right time? I mean, then she's going to say, well, let's hang out till January or till February because Valentine's. I don't want him to say, why didn't Vent send me roses this year?
Oh.
I mean, it's like,
yeah.
But I see your point, though, because I tell my friends I have younger kids all the time, like, eat it up right now. Don't feel weird about taking too many pictures. I wish I had the technology of, I mean, we had cell phones when my daughter was young. Fat boy, you same age, same. But
yep.
The technology ramp up, I wish I'd had that when my child was much younger. She's probably glad I don't because I'd have all these embarrassing videos and stuff. But I tell them to eat it up because those moments, you'll never get them back. And you want to be there for all those moments. But yet again, one day are they going to say, well, when did y'all officially decide you're going to break up? Oh, back at Halloween. What?
Yeah.
I mean, so I got to tell you, I don't know.
You got to somewhat be selfish because this is going to be a big distraction to everybody involved, like families through the holidays.
Oh boy.
They're not going to think about Thanksgiving or Christmas. They're going to be thinking about your situation the whole time.
Right. Yeah. They're not going to think about that. They still got school and stuff. It'd be a lot easier to hold this through the holidays and just grin it and bear it and do the family thing.
Yeah. Plus, you're going to be lonely.
Well, again, that's what we're saying. Like, you got to be selfish or not be selfish in this case. What happens with the sleeping situation? I mean, are they not going to say, why is Dad sleeping in the guest room or on the couch or in his car? or will you go sleep in the floor of the bedroom? I mean, like, really, how far does this go?
I mean, in some ways, they can already kind of sense it.
Yeah.
They might know for certain, but like we haven't told them, but they might be able to pick up on it.
Plus, if we're talking about both families, is she already telling hers that she's single? I don't know why she wants to move on so fast. Like right now.
That's what I was asking her. Is there... I'm not trying to... Nah, I don't need to say this to you. Well, I should because I just said that. Like, the fact she wants to move on so quick, but then again, you said, we just drifted apart kind of thing. The wanting to advance it so fast in lieu of the children does seem a little odd, but we're also overanalyzing it right now.
It feels odd to me.
It just ain't the time
here
to do it.
I see both points. I really do. I really do. I'm in your boat, though. Don't tell the kids because they're going to expect two Christmases in.
Yep.
But then again, nope. How are you going to do that? Is she going to buy all the Christmas? You going to go give her some money, or are you going to buy some Christmas? She going to buy? That's a mess.
Just like if you're a December birthday,
sucks.
Guess what?
Even in October birthday,
you
sucks.
A gift.
You spend all spring and summer saying no one gives a damn about me.
Yeah.
And then at Christmas, it's partly about Jesus.
Yeah, because everybody feels bad that the Christmas baby is right before Christmas. I know.
Imagine how I knew somebody that had one on the 28th. Of December, so they still do. They're not dead. So think about that. Like, oh, hip hop hooray the whole month, and then after it, people are done with thinking about gifts or being around people and stuff, and then it's your birthday again.
Being my brother, his birthday's on the 23rd. It's right before Christmas.
He's trying to be faster than Jesus.
I don't want to put this out there because I don't want her to get any ideas. Do you think it's some kind of ploy to where she's like, you know what? I'll play along with you, but you're going to have to give something up when this thing gets, you know, goes to court. Oh,
Lord. I don't think it's we know what the deal is. Like, it's over. Like, you know, we're ready to move on. But, like, am I being unrealistic for wanting to postpone the separation?
No.
For the kids and everything?
No. But it's, I mean, everything we do in life, there's a tinge of selfishness involved. Like when we lose a family member, we miss them, but it's also we miss them. It's they're in heaven or, you know, God forbid, wherever, but like they're in a better place, but the selfishness makes us miss them. So it's not the time. No, it's not the time to tell them. I say put on the facade through Christmas. I do. I fat boy.
Yeah, but it's gonna, like, they have to play in with each other, and I don't think this is gonna happen. You just get a lot of questions.
I think you know, to keep it for the kids, that's great. Unless,
or you look good.
Unless something might blow up and you have a fight at Christmas. So if you can be amicable,
but even if they go do the family things and look disinterested,
yeah,
like that's gonna be weird too.
But maybe the family already can tell too.
And you can't tell. Well, yeah, that's another point.
Oh,
what if they already know but don't want to say anything?
I know. And then and even you're going to be there paranoid the whole time thinking, God, they know. I should just go and tell them. Oh, man. I hate that. I hate you going through this. But, you know, if you both are, it's at least a nice amicable. Is that amicable? How you say it? Amicable?
Amicable.
I think so. Amicable. Split. Like you both say, okay, I didn't stray on the relationship. You didn't stray. It was not anything like this. We just decided as adults this ain't gonna work, so
ain't gonna tell them what the texts are saying.
No, matter of fact, I would not keep listening to the show if I were you, sir. We take calls. But I totally understand your plight. I remember that morning of having the first one I had away from my kid, and I get up on Christmas morning and I didn't get her till the afternoon. That was the loneliest, saddest 5 hours of my world. I'm there on Christmas morning just sitting by myself,
yourself.
Waiting through lunchtime to go get my baby and bring her back. And it sucked. All right. Good luck with that, Vince. I mean that, seriously.
All right. Thanks for talking with me.
Yeah, man. Have a good morning.
Merry Christmas. Gotta update us. I'd love to talk to his wife.
Wouldn't it be like a Hallmark movie starting off? Like, what if they get in there and they're just like, oh, dude, I hate you, but we got to put on this. Then they realize, wait a minute. We're not doing this for the kids. We really are fighting for this, aren't we?
You want her side of the story, fat boy?
Yeah, because when you look, just
everybody's saying she's cheating.
Yeah, they really are.
That's why she wants him out of the house now.
Uh-huh. Keep up the appearance. As soon as you like, I'm not going with you to your parents, they're asking the questions. He's like, well, I'm not going to you to yours.
This text says if both parents are alive right now, their moms already know. A mom always knows when their kids are going through problems. Not always true, I can tell you.
The Rise Guys Morning Show.
We're doing the All Advice Show, 1-800-774-0093.
You want to talk to Beth?
Hey, Beth.
Beth?
Hi, Beth. Hey, Beth. Good morning.
How are you?
Hi there.
Thanks for having me on, you guys. Oh, yeah,
Good morning. You're very welcome.
Are you needing advice or wanting to give advice? Or
I was going to ask for some advice.
All right.
Yeah.
What's going on?
So I've got an adult son. He doesn't live with me. He lives not far away, like in the neighborhood in a group house. And he came by, and when he came by, there was a whole lot of clothes around the house. We're in the middle of laundry, and there's a lot of men's clothes. And so he thinks that I have a new boyfriend. And the truth is different. My brother's living with me. He moved in a few weeks ago. I've been helping him out, and that's kind of the controversy here.
Why?
Well,
when you said your son lives in a group house, that doesn't mean like we're not talking that not like a halfway house or something. Right?
No.
Okay, I just never heard it called a group house before.
Well, you know, a group of guys all sharing rent.
Yeah. Okay.
That's sounds good.
Yeah. Yes. You know, really crazy messy, and, you know, they all want to leave and hang out with their mom because the house is cleaner, you know.
And he came over and saw laundry being done, saw men's, so...
A lot of men's clothes on the, you know, on the chairs and stuff getting folded, and so the reality is that my brother's been sort of the black sheep of the family, and about 7 months ago... the family got together for an intervention because my brother's he went down a bad road and he had a problem with addiction and he just couldn't get his head together. And he was stealing money, stealing like small things that he thought people wouldn't miss, but that he could get money for.
He stole from family.
Oh, no.
Right? You hurt the ones you love, right?
No. And, I know.
Yeah.
They also say that the criminal comes back to the case of the scene of the crime, and I've never done that.
Well, I mean...
That was funny right there,
criminal,
I thought.
You know? So, the family said, you know, we watch these interventions, and they're like, you know, everybody's cutting him off unless he gets his head on straight, and I couldn't break it off.
How long ago was that, the intervention?
The intervention was about 7 months ago. It was the beginning of the year, like just around in the springtime. And not long after it all happened, he secretly reached out to me. And I, you know, he's my big brother. He's been there for me when I was going through, you know, childhood stuff.
Did he steal from you? Or has he stolen from you?
He has, yeah.
Yeah, look, I don't know anything about interventions, but it seems like when I watch the show, 7 months is not very long.
Yeah, on one side of it, it's not. But for somebody who went through stuff or whatever, like 30 days is huge. 60 days is huge. That's why they give you the collectible coins.
Right? Those chips and stuff? Right.
Gotta catch them all.
It's an accomplishment.
What'd you say, chips?
No.
So, coins. You know, like they give him like the coins you said.
Yeah.
So my brother's living back with me. I'm trying to help him. He says he's got his head on straight. He's trying to be sober and, you know, live a straight life. And I trust him enough to let him back in. But I know that the whole extended family is going to have a hard time with it. And I just don't know if I should let my son know who's living with me. You know,
so did
not
he,
that I've
so,
got a new boyfriend. It's, you know, it's his uncle.
So when he saw the men's clothes, did he say, "Mom, what's up with that?" I mean, did he even question it? And what did you say? Like,
Well, he just kind of made a joke, like he doesn't want to know. Like, you know, he kind of teased me a little bit, and he's like, "I don't want to know about my mom getting busy," you know. So I just let him think what he wants to think. But he's not a big fan. He's really defensive because of, you know, what happened
of
to me.
He's protecting
my things
you.
Were stolen. So my son wants to stick up for me, and I want to stick up for my brother, and so it's complicated. So, I mean, I love that my son wants to support me.
Right.
But I really want to support my brother, too. I mean, we're all family.
So
and,
what will happen on Thursday? Like, will he just, like, hide out at the house? I mean, surely you're not going to pop up with him and make that big, bold move on Thursday.
No, my brother's going to spend, he's got some friends that he's met through the meetings, and so he's going to steer clear of the family for a little bit more.
What I would do if I were you, and I'm not even joking, and I think this is how he shows his, you should piss test him. Like, you should really drug test him to be able to remain in your home. I'm serious. Because, I mean, gosh, like, you don't want to sit here and just get taken advantage of again. Like, for him,
right.
You have to say, look, I will do this for you. You realize this can put me in a weird predicament with the family and whatnot. So I want to verify this every single time. And I want to watch this. I don't want you to bring a Wizinator in there or one of them fake ones like they use in the NFL.
Watch.
Nope. You go in there, and I'm going to test you. And because, like, I mean, is he, I don't want to be too, you've already said your name. I don't want to be too personal, but, like, I mean, is he working or anything? Is he helping you at all with your bills, or is he just?
He is looking for work right now. He's having a bit of a hard time finding something, but he is looking for work. And I mean, I told him that if I have any inkling that he is falling off the wagon, I will test him and I will put him out the door. But I want to give him a sense of trust that, you know, that I believe him when he says he wants to, you know, stay off the wagon.
You know, at some point this is going to be at a crossroads because you're going to lose one of them for a little period of time. It's either going to be your son because, you know, he's pissed about the whole situation. Or, you know, to salvage the relationship with the son, you got to tell the brother to, you know, hit the bricks for a little bit.
I would tell every member of your family what you're doing, full disclosure. And like Matt said, be, you know, keep them accountable because I have family members that have problems and they fall back. And it's heartbreaking, but
you probably drive them to drink.
So
come on,
mean.
Woman, it's holidays.
But yeah, I do. But the mean thing about the whole thing is that you have to live your life first and be happy with yourself and give him a timeline. You know, whenever he's done with the program, then he's got to look for a place to live because he's an adult.
And you got to also, and I know you don't know us from Adam other than listening to the show, but you got to promise if he drops the ball again or you catch him stealing, not just from you but from anybody, you got to kick him out.
Yeah,
you got, because that's going to mess you up hard.
Yeah
put yourself out there on the line with your emotions.
I don't think
stuff.
She could. I imagine her being the one person at the intervention that was kind of riding in the chair and not really wanting to be there. She don't sound like she's that type to, like, be cold and cut somebody off.
Plus, she's got to, like, I'm not saying that you have any addiction, but let's say, like, you probably can't even have alcohol in your home now. Like, you've got to, like, lock it up in your bedroom or whatever.
Yeah, I mean, but
like, it's changing your
life. I don't
miss
it. I don't need it. I mean, that's not something that, I mean, I've seen alcohol ruin so many. I mean, this is a problem in the family. This is not just my brother, but my brother's sort of gone down the farthest, you know, down that hole. And so, you know, I don't need to have, you know, booze in the house. That's not a hardship. But
also, you like maybe like, oh, I would normally take off my watch and lay here on the counter, but I don't want to.
That's not a good feeling.
But he's not. He's addicted to, you know, the stealing wasn't the addiction. The drinking was the addiction. So
okay,
he stops drinking. He'll hopefully stop. You know, he's not stealing.
Yeah, and you know what?
Money.
I want to go back on something I said. I don't think you should if he gives you a reason to drug test him. Don't say, because if he's doing his addiction AA or whatever, then you trust that. But if he gives you a reason not to, then you start testing him.
I think that's good advice. Yeah, I think that's definitely something.
Especially
I could do.
His butt finds a job.
But I mean, now, what about my son? I mean, I don't want to make. I mean, my son's got certain ideas that he's like, you know, trying to be. the man of the house, and, you know, and he's not. He's my son.
Yeah, but don't keep secrets from people because they find out, and then you just have to give them the truth.
She could say, well, you said don't say anything, because he said, I'm not even going to ask Mom.
What if he comes over and finds his stuff there and he's there? I mean,
or what if you're at Thanksgiving and he's like, hey, Mom, where's your new boyfriend at? I saw you washing his socks the other day.
Yeah.
Yeah, something like that. I mean,
I don't want to wreck the relationship with either one of them. These are important men in my life, but I don't know what the right way is to, I mean, if I tell my son, am I going to have to kick out my brother? And I don't want to, but
yes.
I don't want to make my son angry by saying, no, I'm not going to do what you think is right because I don't agree. And,
If only it was a sister that had the addiction, it would go unnoticed.
Your brother's a grown man, and he can take care of himself.
Well, he can't.
It's not true.
He can't.
Well, he can.
He's an invalid.
He didn't have a job.
I didn't tell you that part.
Support him so he can be where he can get to that point.
Yeah.
With limits.
This sounds stupid, but like follow your heart/gut. And then when you feel like you're being taken advantage of, then remove yourself. But so far, I mean, it sounds like he's on the up and up. And then that'd be a nice way to reintroduce him back to the family when you feel the time is right. God bless you, though. You're a good person. Your heart's in the right place. I was talking to Fat Boy, not you. All right.
The Rise Guys Morning Show.
So many been there, done that text about trying to help family or even friends with addiction, but
you can't give up, right? Because that's when it goes bad, like it turns.
I think that, and I don't want to test. Lord, I'm praying right now. I don't want to test, but if it's your child, there's nothing that my child could do that I would ever give up on her. I might be pissed off and angry, but like, there's nothing to make me ever like push her out on the streets.
Even if she called you Four Eyes and shaved part of your beard when you slept?
She did that yesterday. Not the beard part, but like, I mean, it's, but then when it's, so, but outside of that, I mean, I hate to say it, but like, I cut you out like I will if I have to. You got to protect yourself. It sounds, because the word self is in it, that it's selfish, but it's selfless, because you got to, if you spend all your time and effort taking care of other people, you yourself breaks down.
Yeah. And I agree with the text message that we were sent in, TLC Motors text line.
Played some old Foo Fighters.
This person said, your loyalty with your child is with your child always. You brought them into the world. Your brother is not your responsibility. Boom, there it is.
And I told you about the person I know that cuts people off pretty quickly. And the way they live, it's not a detriment. They really are happier in their daily life.
But in the sense of what we went through in my family is we did everything that we could to help my uncle.
Yeah.
But people just finally gave up and he died. And it's just like, you can help people who want to help themselves.
Right. You can lead him to the clinic. You can't make him take the Suboxone.
Party Man Dan could.
Let's talk to Poncho. Poncho, and then we'll get to you, Lefty. Poncho, good morning.
Hi, good morning. How's everybody doing?
Good, sir. Can I say what city you're calling from?
Yeah.
How is it up there now, Asheville? I mean, how is it everything getting back in order?
Kind of. I mean, it's starting to come back together, but then you'll go through, like, if you get close to Biltmore, which is where my dad lives, it's the end of the world, you know, like it looks like a dystopian movie. So parts of it are kind of back to normal and parts of it are, you know, unbelievable. I grew up here, so it's pretty shocking.
Well, even with the roads, they're still showing, you know, big detours. If you gotta
still go washed out and everything, but I mean, you just gotta imagine the manpower to get all that going. All right, let's talk about this. You got a comment on this lady that called helping her brother out that could be detrimental to the rest of her family.
Yeah, and I get that's, you know, it's a tricky situation. There was actually one specific kind of side note I wanted to mention, which was something you said, Matt Mann, about, you seeing someone on the street and wondering if they had like screwed up all of these relationships.
Right.
And so my best friend has been homeless and on the streets twice. And because of various work that I've done, you know, I've had a lot of experience with homeless people. And sometimes it is that, you know, sometimes it's either because of addiction or mental illness or some other factor.
Sure.
You know, that their relationships have cut them out. In a lot of cases, it's the opposite. You know, it's that their family is toxic. And like, you know, there are people who live on the streets who, well, less on the streets, but in their cars, who are homeless, who have full-time jobs. And true. There are people inside who are drug addicts. There are people who have apartments and houses who are also, like, I just feel like a lot of responsibility gets put onto people on the streets beyond what we would do if they had a house.
True.
Like,
and I fully admit that it is being, is it judgmental or is it like, I'm just staring at the person. I'm thinking like, wonder what their story is. And if it's, especially if it's a younger person, I'm like, where's your family at? Do they know? Like, or
how long have you been out here?
How long have you been out here? Like, what's that story? And the sad part of it is, 9 times out of 10, you just assume that, I sound like Trump just then, you just assume that it's been some drug-related thing or mental illness. I mean, it's the truth of the matter, but I appreciate your perspective, though.
Yeah. For sure, and sometimes it's true, you know, like, but sometimes it doesn't, like, a friend of mine had to crash on my couch for 2 or 3 months. They did have some mental health issues, so they were older, like in their 20s living at home. But they got kicked out for smoking pot. Like, that seems excessive to compare that to drug addiction. But, you know, they were accused of stealing something they hadn't done, and now they're sleeping on a couch. I mean, they're still homeless.
Right.
Even though...
Sure. That's a great point. Homeless versus living on the streets versus living under an underpass. Like, that's...
Right. You know. I mean, it's semantics at that point to an extent. I mean...
You know, if you live in an apartment, are you homeless?
No.
Oh, well...
That's an awful example, though.
I mean, you get down to brass tacks. Like, this guy, he wasn't homeless, but he was living on a guy's couch, you know?
Yeah, that's like... How did you think it was going to last that long? Months on your couch?
No, I didn't. But he found a place eventually. Like, he just had to kind of start everything all over, and I'm glad he did. I'm glad I was there to support him.
Yeah, that's good.
But I feel like there is, especially since Helene, you know, living in Asheville, there's a divide between the good homeless and the bad homeless. Like, the bad homeless were homeless before. The good homeless are all the people who lost their homes during Helene, and they deserve compassion.
Amen.
The people who were on the streets before with mental illness or drug addiction or who just couldn't afford housing costs around here, they're the bad homeless. So my homelessness is different than theirs. There's this big divide.
Sure.
And I think that's inappropriate. We all need help with, you know, food and shelter and electricity and medicine, like, in the wake of all this.
Yeah.
So making that divide between, oh, I'm not like the other homeless people. No, you're still homeless.
Right.
Good point.
Hey, anything happen on that couch, you know, like a...
What
if he brought home a girl?
Stayed away.
He bring home a girl to sleep in the couch with him?
If he had, I feel like he would have gotten off my couch a lot quicker, but...
Pancho, you're the man, sir. Have a happy Thanksgiving if we don't see you.
Y'all take care. God bless.
All right, see. He didn't say it back to us.
He was good.
He blessed us by God, but did not wish us a happy Thanksgiving.
Hey, I saw FEMA was handing out trailers up in North Carolina. Well, a family got a trailer because I think they lost like 6 or 7 homes. I think I read that right.
Good Lord.
Yeah.
Was it the Biltmore family?
I don't know.
Six or seven homes.
I don't know how many trailers they were giving out, who's getting them.
Yeah.
That's all they were up there.
You know what? I was going to call you a bad word, but person texting in, I'm just being transparent and honest. Like, that's what goes through my mind. Like,
well, I mean, listen,
shame
legit
on you for sitting there at a red light judging someone. I'm sorry, I'm being honest with you versus what I'm not seeing anyone on this show, but a lot of people would say, oh, yeah, but that's what I'm thinking. Like, how'd you get here? What happened?
Who in their right mind is sleeping on a city bench at 4 o'clock in the morning when I come to work?
This is what I wonder. And you know, it's... Also,
do you stink? That's the other question.
Well, it's just this fact, like, no one goes through life without passing judgment. And it's not the best thing in the world, but no one does it. You see a car beside you at the red light revving its engine. You think, oh, he's going to go fast.
Mm-hmm.
You're passing judgment. That's the same thing. You see somebody sitting there holding a tiny cardboard sign. Y'all got to realize, too, you got to make them things bigger. Or write with a bigger font, because I can't read them until I get right up on you.
Quit using crisis actors as kids.
I feel, you know what, it pulls on the heartstrings when they got a dog with them. That's the one that always, I won't.
It does.
And that's what's weird about the human complex, too.
Our cat on the street.
We see an animal, we're like, oh. But if there was just two homeless people there, you'd be like, ah. But if it's a homeless person and a dog, oh, the dog. It's weird, man, but that's the way I am.
If your ears had an ass, they'd be kicking it right now. The Rise Guys Morning Show.